第4項
Psychologist Arthur S. Robber offers the following summary of research on decision-making. During the 1970s, it became increasingly apparent that people do not typically solve problems, make decisions, or reach conclusions using the kinds of standard, conscious, and rational process that they were more or less assumed to be using. On the contrary,People could best be described, in much of their decision-making, as being non-rational. When people were observed making choices and solving problems of interesting complexity, the rationale and logical elements were often missing. Robert Zients takes this claim one step further. For most decisions, it is extremely difficult to demonstrate that there has actually been any prior thinking process whatsoever.It isn't that the decisions people make are irrational. It's that the processes by which decisions are made are entirely unlike the step-by-step rational process that might be used to solve, say, a math problem. Decisions are typically made in the unconscious mind by means of some unknown process. Indeed, according to Robber, people not only don't know how their decision-making process works,but they don't even know what information it takes as input. Daniel Wegener agrees that the decision-making process is less than rational. We just don't think consciously in advance about everything we do, although we try to maintain appearances that this is the case. The vagueness of our intentions doesn't seem to bother us much, though, as we typically go along doing things and learning only at the time or later,what it is that we are doing. And, quite remarkably, we may then feel a sense of conscious will for actions we did not truly anticipate and even go on to insist that we had intended them all along. According to Wegener, people have an ideal of conscious control. We are convinced that we consciously control our actions, that we are in charge of ourselves. When it looks as though we are falling short of this ideal,When we find ourselves doing something we did not choose to do, we hide the fact from ourselves by creatively revising our beliefs about what it is that we want. This strategy, says Wegener, eventually leads us into the odd situation of assuming that we must have been consciously aware of what we wanted to do in performing actions we don't understand or perhaps even remember, just to keep up the appearance that we really do have conscious will.This is not to say that our decision-making is completely irrational. Suppose I want X and know that doing Y will bring me X. Under these circumstances, I will probably decide to do Y. This decision is perfectly rational, given that I want X. And because most of our desires are instrumental in this way, it follows that most of our desires are rational, taken in context. It is this fact, as much as anything,that gives rise to the common perception that our desires are rational. But the desire that gives rise to instrumental desires might not itself be rational. In particular, my wanting X might not be rational. I might not have decided to want X. On the contrary, this desire might simply have come into my head. In this case, my desire to do Y is a rational way to pursue a non-rational goal.And therefore, my desire to do Y is itself in some sense non-rational. Suppose, for example, that I like sushi, and to have some, I drive to a restaurant. My desire to drive to the restaurant is absolutely rational, given that I like sushi. My liking sushi, on the other hand, cannot be rationally justified. I just like it, that's all. For this reason, my desire to drive to the restaurantcannot be rationally justified, meaning that despite appearances to the contrary, it is a non-rational desire.